propositioned me, knowing it was going to drive me nuts having women salivating all over you and not having the right to say anything about it.
You have the right now.
You're not taking me seriously. I shook my head and took another bite of my cheeseburger.
I've never been as serious about anything in my life.
Reaching over, Gideon ran a fingertip over the corner of my mouth, then licked off the dab of sauce he'd collected.
You're not the only one who can get possessive. I'm very proprietary about what's mine.
I didn't doubt that for a minute. I took another bite and thought of the night ahead. I was eager. Ridiculously so. I was dying to see Gideon naked. Dying to run my hands and lips all over him. Dying to have another go at driving him crazy. And I was damn near desperate to be under him. To feel him straining over me, pounding into me, coming hard and deep inside me.
Keep thinking those thoughts, he said roughly, and you'll be late again.
I looked at him with raised brows. How did you know what I'm thinking?
You get this look on your face when you're turned on. I intend to put that look on your face as often as possible.
Gideon covered his plate again and stood, withdrawing a business card from his pocket and setting it down beside me. I could see that he'd written his home and cell phone numbers on the back.
I feel stupid asking this question, considering our present conversation, but I need your cell phone number.
Oh. I forcibly dragged my thoughts out of the bedroom. I have to get one first. It's on my to-do list.
What happened to the phone you were texting with last week?
My nose wrinkled. My mother was using it to track my movements around the city. She's a tad overprotective.
I see.
He brushed the backs of his fingers down my cheek.
That's what you were talking about when you said your mom is stalking you.
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay, then. We'll take care of the phone after work before we head to the gym. It's safer for you to have one, and I want to be able to call you whenever I feel like it.
I set down the quarter of my burger that I couldn't eat and wiped my hands and mouth. That was delicious. Thank you.
It was my pleasure.
He leaned over me and pressed his lips briefly to mine.
Do you need to use the washroom?
Yes. I need my toothbrush from my purse, too. A few minutes later, I found myself standing in a washroom, hidden behind a door that blended seamlessly with a mahogany paneling behind the flat screens. We brushed our teeth side by side at the double-sink vanity, our gazes meeting in our mirrored reflections. It was such a domestic, normal thing to do, and yet we both seemed to delight in it.
I'll take you back down, he said, crossing his office to the coat rack.
I followed him but veered off when we reached his desk. I went to it and put my hand on the clear space in front of his chair. Is this where you are most of the day?
Yes.
He shrugged into his jacket, and I wanted to bite him. He looked so delectable. Instead, I hopped up to sit directly in front of his chair. According to my watch, I had 5 minutes. Barely enough time to get back to work, but still. I couldn't resist exercising my new rights. I pointed at his chair. Sit. His brows rose, but he came over without argument and settled gracefully into the seat. I spread my legs and crooked my finger. Closer. He rolled forward, filling the space between my thighs. He wrapped his arms around my hips and looked up at me.
One day soon, Ava. I'm going to fuck you right here.
Just a kiss for now, I murmured, bending forward to take his mouth. With my hands on his shoulders for balance, I licked across his parted lips, then slipped inside and teased him with gentleness. Groaning, he deepened the kiss, eating at my mouth in a way that made me achy and wet. One day soon, I repeated, against his lips. I'm going to kneel beneath this desk and suck you off. Maybe while you're on the phone playing with your millions like Monopoly, you, Mr. Cross, will pass go and collect your $200. His mouth curved against mine.
I can see how this is going to go. You're going to make me lose my mind, coming everywhere I can in your tight, sexy body.
Are you complaining?
Angel, I'm salivating.
I was bemused by the endearment, although I liked its sweetness. Angel? He hummed a soft ascent and kissed me. I couldn't believe what a difference an hour made. I left Gideon's office in a completely different frame of mind than when I'd entered it. The feel of his hand at the small of my back made my body hum with anticipation, rather than the misery I'd felt on the way in. I waved bye to Scott and smiled brightly at the unsmiling receptionist. I don't think she likes me, I told Gideon as we waited for the elevator.
Who?
Your receptionist. He glanced over that way, and the redhead beamed at him. Well, I murmured, she likes you.
I guarantee her paychecks.
My mouth curved. Yes, I'm sure that's what it is. It couldn't possibly have anything to do with you being the sexiest man alive.
Am I now?
He caged me to the wall and burned me with a searing gaze. I set my hands against his abdomen, licking my lower lip when I felt the hard ridges of muscle tighten under my touch. Just an observation.
I like you.
With his palms pressed flat to the wall on either side of my head, he lowered his mouth to mine and kissed me softly. I like you back. You do realize you're at work, don't you?
What good is being the boss if you can't do what you want?
When a car arrived, I ducked under Gideon's arm and slid into it. He prowled in after me, then circled me like a predator, sliding up behind me to pull me back against him. His hands pushed into my front pockets and splayed against my hip bones, keeping me tucked close. The warmth of his touch, so close to where I ached for him, was a special brand of torture. In retaliation, I wriggled my butt against him and smiled when he hissed out a breath and hardened.
Behave, he admonished, roughly. I have a meeting in 15 minutes.
Will you think of me while you're sitting at your desk?
Undoubtedly. You'll definitely think about me while you're sitting at yours. That's an order, Miss Trammell.
My head fell back against his chest, loving the bite of command in his voice. I don't see how I couldn't, Mr. Cross, considering how I think of you everywhere else I go. He stepped out with me when we reached the 20th floor.
Thank you for lunch.
I think that's my line. I backed away. See you later, dark and dangerous. His brows rose at my nickname for him.
5 o'clock. Don't make me wait.
One of the cars in the left bank of elevators arrived. Megumi stepped out and Gideon stepped in, his gaze locked with mine until the doors closed. Phew, she said. You scored. I'm pea green with envy. I couldn't think of anything to say to that. It was all still too new, and I was afraid to jinx it. In the back of my mind, I knew these feelings of happiness couldn't last. Everything was going too well. I rushed to my desk and got to work.
Ava.
I looked up to see Mark standing in the threshold of his office.
Could I talk to you a minute?
Of course. I grabbed my tablet, even though his grim face and tone warned me they might not be needed. When Mark shut the door behind me, my apprehension increased. Is everything all right?
Yes.
He waited until I was seated, then took the chair beside me rather than the one behind his desk.
I don't know how to say this.
Just say it. I'll figure it out. He looked at me with compassionate eyes and a cringe of embarrassment.
It's not my place to interfere. I'm just your boss, and there's a line that comes with that. But I'm going to cross it because I like you, Ava. And I want you to work here for a long time. My stomach tightened.
That's great. I really love my job.
Good. Good, I'm glad. He shot me a quick smile. Just be careful with Cross, okay?
I blinked, startled by the direction of the conversation.
Okay. He's brilliant, rich, and sexy, so I understand the appeal. As much as I love Steven, I get a little flustered around Cross myself. He's just got that kind of pull.
Mark talked fast and shifted with obvious embarrassment.
And I can totally see why he's interested in you. You're beautiful, smart, honest, considerate. I could go on, because you're great.
Thanks, I said quietly, hoping I didn't look as ill as I felt. This sort of warning from a friend, and knowing that others would think of me as just another babe of the week, was exactly the sort of thing that preyed on my insecurities.
I just don't want to see you get hurt, he muttered, looking as miserable as I felt. Part of that's selfish, I'll admit. I don't want to lose a great assistant because she doesn't want to work in a building owned by an ex.
Mark, it means a lot to me that you care, and that I'm valuable to you around here. But you don't have to worry about me. I'm a big girl. Besides, nothing is going to get me to quit this job. He blew out his breath, clearly relieved.
All right. Let's put it away and get to work.
So we did. But I set myself up for future torture by subscribing to a daily Google alert for Gideon's name. And when 5 o'clock rolled around, my awareness of my many inadequacies was still spreading through my happiness like a stain. Gideon was as prompt as he'd threatened to be, and he didn't seem to notice my introspective mood as we rode down in a crowded elevator. More than one woman in the car cast furtive glances in his direction, but that sort of thing I didn't mind. He was hot. I would have been surprised if they hadn't looked. He caught my hand when we cleared the turnstiles, linking his fingers with mine. The simple, intimate gesture meant so much to me in that moment that my grip tightened on his, and I'd really have to watch out for that. The moment I became grateful he was spending time with me would be the beginning of the end. Neither of us would respect me if that happened. The Bentley SUV sat at the curb, and Gideon's driver stood at the ready by the rear door. Gideon looked at me.
I had some workout clothes packed and brought over, in case you were set on visiting your gym. Equinox, right? Or we can go to mine.
Where's yours?
I prefer to go to the Cross Trainer on 35th.
My curiosity over how he knew which gym I frequented vanished when I heard the Cross in the name of his gym. You wouldn't happen to own the gym, would you? His grin flashed.
The chain. Usually I practice mixed martial arts with a personal trainer, but I use the gym occasionally.
The chain, I repeated. Of course.
Your choice, he said considerately. I'll go wherever you want.
By all means, let's go to your gym. He opened the back door, and I slid in and over. I set my purse and my gym bag on my lap, and looked out the window as the car pulled away from the curb. The sedan driving next to us was so close, I wouldn't have to lean far to touch it. Rush hour in Manhattan was something I was still getting used to. SoCal had bumper-to-bumper traffic, too, but it moved at a snail's pace. Here in New York, speed mixed with the crush in a way that often made me close my eyes and pray to survive the trip. It was a whole new world, a new city, new apartment, new job, and new man. It was a lot to take on at once. I supposed it was understandable that I felt off balance. I glanced at Gideon and found him staring at me with an unreadable expression. Everything inside me twisted into a mess of wild lust and vibrating anxiety. I had no idea what I was doing with him, only that I couldn't stop, even
if I wanted to.
Chapter 9. We hit the cellular store first. The associate who helped us seemed highly susceptible to Gideon's magnetic pull. She practically fell all over herself the minute he showed the slightest interest in anything, quickly launching into detailed explanations and leaning into his personal space to demonstrate. I tried separating from them and finding someone who'd actually help me, but Gideon's grip on my hand wouldn't let me move more than touching distance away. Then we argued over who was going to pay, which he seemed to think should be him, even though the phone and account were mine. "You got your way with picking the service provider," I pointed out, pushing his credit card aside and shoving mine at the girl.
"Because it's practical. We'll be on the same network, so calls to me are free."
He swapped the cards, deftly. "I won't be calling you at all if you don't put your damn credit card away." That did the trick, although I could tell he was unhappy about it. He'd just have to get over it. Once we got back in the Bentley, his mood seemed restored.
"You can head to the gym now, Angus," he told his driver, settling back in the seat.
Then he pulled his smartphone out of his pocket. He saved my new number into his contact list. Then he took my new phone out of my hand and programmed my list with his home, office, and cell numbers. He'd barely finished when we arrived at Cross Trainer. Not surprisingly, the 3-story fitness center was a health enthusiast's dream. I was impressed with every sleek, modern, top-of-the-line inch of it. Even the women's locker room was like something out of a science fiction movie. But my awe was totally eclipsed by Gideon himself when I finished changing into my workout clothes and found him waiting for me out in the hallway. He'd changed into long shorts and a tank, which gave me my first look at his bare arms and legs. I came to an abrupt halt, and someone coming out behind me bumped into me. I could barely manage an apology. I was too busy visually devouring Gideon's body. His legs were toned and powerful, flawlessly proportional to his trim hips and waist. His arms made my mouth water. His biceps were precisely cut, and his forearms were coursing with thick veins that were both brutal-looking and sexy as hell. He'd tied his hair back, which showed off the definition of his neck and traps and the sculpted angles of his face. Christ! I knew this man intimately. My brain couldn't wrap itself around that fact, not while faced with the irrefutable evidence of how uniquely beautiful he was. And he was scowling at me. Straightening away from the wall where he'd been leaning, he came toward me, then circled me. His fingertips ran along my bare midriff and back as he made the revolution, sending goosebumps racing over my skin. When he stopped in front of me, I threw my arms around his neck and pulled his mouth down for a quick, playfully smacking kiss.
"What the hell are you wearing?" he asked, looking marginally appeased by my enthusiastic greeting.
"Clothes."
"You look naked in that top."
"I thought you liked me naked." I was secretly pleased with my choice, which I'd made that morning before I'd known he'd be with me. The top was a triangle with long straps at the shoulders and ribs that secured with Velcro, and could be worn in a variety of ways to allow the wearer to determine where her breasts needed the most support. It was specially designed for curvy women, and was the first top I'd ever had that kept me from bouncing all over the place. What Gideon objected to was the nude color, which coordinated with the racing stripes on the matching black yoga pants.
"I like you naked in private," he muttered. "I'll need to be with you whenever you go to the gym."
"I won't complain, since I'm very much enjoying the view at the moment." Plus, I was perversely excited by his possessiveness after the hurt he'd inflicted with his withdrawal Saturday night. 2 very different extremes. The first of many, I was sure.
"Let's get this over with."
He grabbed my hand and led me away from the locker rooms, snatching 2 logoed towels off a stack as we passed them.
I need to fuck you.
I need to be fucked.
Jesus, Ava.
His grip on my hand tightened to the point that it hurt.
Where to?
Free weights? Machines? Treadmills? Treadmills. I want to run a bit. He led me in that direction. I watched the way women followed him with their gazes, then their feet. They wanted to be in whatever section of the gym he was, and I couldn't blame them. I was dying to see him in action, too. When we reached the seemingly endless rows of treadmills and bikes, we found that there weren't two treadmills free adjacent to each other. Gideon walked up to a man who had two open on either side of him.
I'd be in your debt if you'd move over one.
The guy looked at me and grinned.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Gideon took over the man's treadmill and motioned me to the one beside it. Before he programmed his workout, I leaned over to him.
Don't burn off too much energy, I whispered. I want you missionary style the first time. I've been having this fantasy of you on top banging the hell out of me. His gaze burned into me.
Ava, you have no idea.
Nearly giddy with anticipation and a lovely surge of feminine power, I got on my treadmill and started at a brisk walk. While I warmed up, I set my iPod shuffle to random, and when Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake came on, I hit my stride and went full out. Running was both a mental and physical exercise for me. Sometimes I wished just running fast could get me away from whatever was troubling me. After 20 minutes, I slowed, then stopped, finally risking a glance at Gideon, who was running with the fluidity of a well-oiled machine. He was watching CNN on the overhead screens, but he flashed a grin at me as I wiped the sweat off my face. I swigged from my water bottle as I moved to the machines, picking one that gave me a clear view of him. He went a full 30 on the treadmill. Then he moved to free weights, always keeping me in his line of sight. As he worked out, quickly and efficiently, I couldn't help thinking how virile he was. It helped that I knew exactly what was in his shorts, but regardless, he was a man who worked behind a desk, yet kept his body in combat shape. When I grabbed a fitness ball to do some crunches, one of the trainers came up to me. As one would expect in a top-of-the-line gym, he was handsome and very nicely built. Hi, he greeted me, with a movie star smile that showcased perfect white teeth. He had dark brown hair and eyes of nearly the same color.
First timer, right?
I haven't seen you in here before.
Yes, first time.
I'm Daniel.
He extended his hand, and I gave him my name.
Are you finding everything you need, Ava?
So far, so good, thanks.
What flavor smoothie did you go for?
I frowned.
Excuse me? Your free orientation smoothie.
He crossed his arms, and his thick biceps strained the narrow cuffs of his uniform polo shirt.
You didn't get one from the bar downstairs when you signed up? You're supposed to.
Ah, well. I shrugged sheepishly, thinking it was a nice touch all the same. I didn't have the usual orientation.
Did you get the tour? If not, let me take you around.
He touched my elbow lightly and gestured toward the stairs.
You also get a free hour of personal training. We could do that tonight or make an appointment for later in the week. And I'd be happy to take you down to the health bar and scratch that off the list, too.
Oh, I can't really. My nose wrinkled. I'm not a member.
Ah, he winked. You're here on a temp pass. That's fine. You can't be expected to make up your mind if you don't get the full experience. I can assure you, though, that Cross Trainer is the best gym in Manhattan.
Gideon appeared at Daniel's shoulder.
The full experience is included, he said,
coming around and behind me to slide his arms around my waist.
When you're the owner's girlfriend.
The word girlfriend reverberated through me, sending a crazy rush of adrenaline through my system. It was still sinking in that we had that level of commitment. but that didn't stop me from thinking the designation had a nice ring to it.
Mr. Cross.
Daniel straightened and took a step back, then extended his hand.
It's an honor to meet you.
Daniel has me sold on the place, I said to Gideon, as they shook hands.
I thought I'd done that.
His hair was wet with sweat, and he smelled divine. I'd never known a sweaty man could smell so damn good. His hands stroked down my arms, and I felt his lips on the crown of my head.
Let's go. See you later, Daniel.
I waved goodbye as we walked away. Thanks, Daniel.
Anytime.
I bet, Gideon muttered. He couldn't keep his eyes off your tits.
They're very nice tits.
He made a low, growling noise. I hid my amusement. He smacked my butt hard enough to send me forward a step and leave behind a hot sting even through my pants. That damned band-aid you call a shirt doesn't leave much to the imagination. Don't take long in the shower. You're just going to get sweaty again.
Wait. I caught his arm before he passed the women's locker room on the way toward the men's. Would it gross you out if I told you I didn't want you to shower? If I said I want to find some place really close by where I could jump you while you're still dripping sweat? Gideon's jaw tightened, and his gaze darkened dangerously.
I'm beginning to fear for your safety, Ava. Grab your stuff. There's a hotel around the corner.
Neither of us changed, and we were outside in 5 minutes. Gideon walked briskly, and I hurried to keep up. When he stopped abruptly, turned, and dipped me back in a lavish, heated kiss on the crowded sidewalk, I was too stunned to do more than hold on. It was a soul-wrenching melding of our mouths, full of passion and sweet spontaneity that made my heart ache. Applause broke out around us. When he straightened me again, I was breathless and dizzy.
What was that?
I gasped.
A prelude.
He resumed our dash to the nearest hotel, one I didn't catch the name of as he pulled me past the doorman and crossed straight to the elevator. It was clear to me that the property was one of Gideon's even before a manager greeted him by name just before the elevator doors closed. Gideon dropped his duffel on the car floor and busied himself with figuring out how to extricate me from my sports top. I was slapping his hands away when the doors opened, and he scooped up his bag. There was no one waiting on our floor and no one in the hallway. He pulled a master key out of somewhere, and a moment later, we were in a room. I pounced, pushing my hands up beneath his shirt to feel his damp skin and the hardness of the muscles beneath it. Get naked, like now. He laughed as he towed off his sneakers and yanked his tank over his head.
Oh my God.
Seeing him in the flesh, all of him, as his shorts hit the floor, was synapse frying. There wasn't an ounce of excess flesh on him anywhere, just hard slabs of honed muscle. He had washboard abs and that super sexy V of muscle on his pelvis that Carrie called the loin of Apollo. Gideon didn't wax his chest like Carrie did, but he groomed with the same care he showed to the rest of his body. He was pure primal male, the embodiment of everything I coveted, fantasized about, and wished for. I've died and gone to heaven, I said, staring unabashedly.
You're still dressed.
He attacked my clothes, whipping my loosened top off before I took a full breath. My pants were rustled down and I kicked my shoes off in such a hurry that I lost my balance and fell on the bed. I barely caught my breath before he was on me. We rolled across the mattress in a tangle. Everywhere he touched me left trails of fire behind. The clean, hard-working scent of his skin was an aphrodisiac and intoxicant at once, spurring my desire for him until I felt like I was about to lose my mind.
You're so beautiful, Ava.
He plumped one breast in his hand before taking my nipple into his mouth.
I cried out at the scorching heat and the lash of his tongue, my core tightening with every soft suck. My hands were greedy as they slid over his sweat-damp skin, stroking and kneading, searching for the spots that made him growl and moan. I scissored my legs with his and tried to roll him, but he was too heavy and too strong. He lifted his head and smiled down at me.
It's my turn this time.
What I felt for him in that moment, seeing that smile and the heat in his eyes, was so intense it was painful. Too fast, I thought. I was falling too fast. Gideon. He kissed me deeply, licking into my mouth in that way of his. I thought he could really make me come with just a kiss, if we stayed at it long enough. Everything about him turned me on. From the way he looked and felt beneath my hands, to the way he watched me and touched me, his greed and the silent demands he made on my body, the forcefulness with which he pleasured me and took his pleasure in return, drove me wild. I ran my hands through the wet silk of his hair. The crisp hairs on his chest teased my tightened nipples, and the feel of his rock-hard body against mine was enough to make me wet and needy.
I love your body, he whispered,
his lips moving across my cheek to my throat. His hand caressed the length of my torso from breasts to hip.
I can't get enough of it.
You haven't had very much of it yet, I teased.
I don't think I'll ever have enough.
Nibbling and licking across my shoulder, he slid down and caught my other nipple between his teeth. He tugged, and the tiny dart of pain had my back arching on a soft cry. He soothed the sting with a soft suck, then kissed his way downward.
I've never wanted anything this badly.
Then do me.
Not yet, he murmured,
moving lower, rimming my navel with the tip of his tongue.
You're not ready yet.
What? Oh, God, I can't get any readier. I tugged on his hair, trying to pull him up. Gideon caught my wrists and pinned them to the mattress.
You have a tight little cunt, Ava.
I'll bruise you if I don't get you soft and relaxed. A violent shiver of arousal moved through me. It turned me on when he talked so bluntly about sex. Then he slid lower, and I tensed. No, Gideon, I need to shower for that. He buried his face in my cleft, and I struggled against his hold, flushed with sudden shame. He nipped at my inner thigh with his teeth.
Stop it.
Don't. Please, you don't have to do that. His glare stilled my frantic movements.
Do you think I feel differently about your body than you do mine? He asked harshly. I want you, Ava.
I licked my dry lips, so crazily turned on by his animal need that I couldn't form a single word. He growled softly and dove for the slick flesh between my legs. His tongue pushed into me, licking and parting the sensitive tissues. My hips churned restlessly, my body silently begging for more. It felt so good I could have wept.
God, Ava.
I've wanted my mouth on your cunt every day since I met you. As the velvet softness of his tongue flickered over my swollen clit, my head pressed hard into the pillow. Yes, like that. Make me come. He did, with the gentlest of suction and a hard lick. I writhed as the orgasm jolted through me, my core tensing violently, my limbs shaking. His tongue thrust into my sex as it convulsed, rippling along the shallow penetration, trying to pull him deeper. His groans vibrated against my swollen flesh, goading the climax to roll on and on. Tears stung my eyes and coursed down my temples, the physical pleasure destroying the wall that kept my emotions at bay. And Gideon didn't stop.
He circled the trembling entrance to my body with the tip of his tongue and lapped at my throbbing clit until I quickened again. Two fingers pushed inside me, curving and stroking. I was so sensitive I thrashed against the onslaught. When he drew on my clit with steady, rhythmic suction, I came again, crying out hoarsely. Then he had three fingers in me, twisting and opening me.
No!
My head tossed from side to side, every inch of my skin tingling and burning.
No more!
Once more, he coaxed hoarsely. Once more, then I'll fuck you.
I can't.
You will.
He blew a slow stream of air over my wet flesh, the coolness over fevered skin reawakening raw nerve endings.
I love watching you come, Ava.
Love hearing the sounds you make, the way your body quivers. He massaged a tender spot inside me, and an orgasm pulsed through me in a slow, heated roll of delight, no less devastating for being gentler than the two before it. His weight and heat left me. In a distant corner of my dazed mind, I heard a drawer opening, followed swiftly by the sound of foil tearing. The mattress dipped as he returned, his hands rough now as he yanked me down to the center of the bed. He stretched himself on top of me, pinning me, tucking his forearms on the outside of my biceps and pressing them to my sides, capturing me. My gaze was riveted to his austerely beautiful face. His features were harsh with lust, his skin stretched tight over his cheekbones and jaw. His eyes were so dark and dilated they were black, and I knew I was staring into the face of a man who'd passed the limits of his control. It was important to me that he'd made it that far for my benefit, and that he'd done so to pleasure and prepare me for what I knew would be a hard ride. My hands fisted in the bedspread, anticipation building. He'd made sure I got mine, over and over again. This would be for him. Fuck me, I ordered, daring him with my eyes.
Ava.
He snapped out my name as he rammed into me, sinking balls deep in one fierce drive. I gasped. He was big, hard as stone, and so damn deep. The connection was startlingly intense. Emotionally, mentally, I'd never felt so completely taken, possessed. I wouldn't have thought I could bear to be restrained during sex, not with my past being what it was. But Gideon's total domination of my body ratcheted my desire to an outrageous level. I'd never been so hot for it in my life, which seemed insane after what I'd experienced with him so far. I clenched around him, relishing the feel of him inside me, filling me. His hips ground against mine, prodding as if to say, "Feel me? I'm in you. I own you." His entire body hardened, the muscles of his chest and arms straining as he pulled out to the tip. The rigid tightening of his abs was the only warning I got before he slammed forward. Hard. I cried out, and his chest rumbled with a low, primitive sound.
Christ, you feel so good.
Tightening his hold, he started fucking me, nailing my hips to the mattress with wildly fierce drives. Pleasure rippled through me again, pushing through me with every hot shove of his body into mine. Like this, I thought. I want you just like this. He buried his face in my neck and held me tightly in place, plunging hard and fast, gasping raw, heated sex words that made me crazed with desire.
I've never been so hard and thick. I'm so deep in you. I can feel it against my stomach, feel my dick pounding into you.
I'd thought of this round as his, and yet he was still with me, still focused on me, swiveling his hips to stroke pleasure through my melting core. I made a small, helpless sound of need, and his mouth slanted over mine. I was desperate for him, my nails digging into his pumping hips, struggling with the grinding urge to rock into the ferocious thrusts of his big cock. We were dripping in sweat, our skin hot and slicked together, our chests heaving for air. As an orgasm brewed like a storm inside me, everything tightened and clenched, squeezing. He cursed and shoved one hand beneath my hip, cupping my rear and lifting me into his thrusts so that his cock head stroked over and over the spot that ached for him.
"Come, Ava," he ordered harshly. "Come now."
I climaxed in a rush that had me sobbing his name, the sensation enhanced and magnified by the way he'd confined my body. He threw his head back, shuddering.
"Ah, Ava!"
He clasped me so tightly I couldn't breathe, his hips pumping as he came long and hard. I've no idea how long we lay like that, leveled, mouths sliding over shoulders and throats to soothe and calm. My entire body tingled and pulsed.
"Wow,"
I managed finally.
"You'll kill me,"
he muttered, with his lips at my jaw.
"We're going to end up fucking each other to death."
Me? I didn't do anything. He'd controlled me completely. And how freaking sexy was that?
"You're breathing. That's enough."
I laughed, hugging him. Lifting his head, he nuzzled my nose.
"We're going to eat, and then we'll do that again."
My brows lifted.
"You can do that again?"
"All night."
He rolled his hips, and I could feel that he was still semi-hard.
"You're a machine," I told him.
"Or a god. It's you."
With a soft, sweet kiss, he left me. He removed the condom, wrapped it in a tissue from the nightstand, and tossed the whole thing in the wastebasket by the bed.
"We'll shower, then order from the restaurant downstairs. Unless you want to go down?"
"I don't think I can walk." The flash of his grin stopped my heart for a minute.
"Glad I'm not the only one."
"You look fine."
"I feel phenomenal."
He sat back on the side of the bed and brushed my hair back from my forehead. His face was soft, his smile warmly affectionate. I thought I saw something else in his eyes, and the possibility closed my throat. It scared me.
"Shower with me,"
he said, running his hand down my arm. "Give me a minute to find my brain, then I'll join you."
"Okay."
He went into the bathroom, giving me a prime view of his sculpted back and perfect ass. I sighed with pure female appreciation of a prime male specimen. The water came on in the shower. I managed to sit up and slide my legs over the side of the bed, feeling exquisitely shaky. My gaze caught on the slightly open bedside drawer, and I saw condoms through the gap. My stomach twisted. The hotel was too upscale to be the kind that provided condoms along with the requisite Bible. With a slightly trembling hand, I pulled the drawer out further and found a sizable quantity of prophylactics, including a bottle of feminine lubrication and spermicidal gel. My heart started pounding all over again. In my mind, I backtracked through our lust-fueled trip to the hotel. Gideon hadn't asked which rooms were available. Whether he had a master key or not, he'd need to know which rooms were occupied before he took one. Unless he'd known beforehand that this particular room would be empty. Clearly, it was his room. A fuck pad, outfitted with everything he'd need to have a good time with the women who served that purpose in his life. As I pushed to my feet and walked over to the closet, I heard the glass shower door open in the bathroom, then close. I caught the two knobs of the louvered walnut closet doors and pushed them apart. There was a small selection of men's clothes hanging on the metal rod, some business shirts and slacks, as well as khakis and jeans. My temperature dropped, and a sick misery spread through my orgasmic high. The right side dresser drawers held neatly folded t-shirts, boxer briefs, and socks. The top one on the left side held sex toys still in their packages. I didn't look at the drawers below that one. I'd seen enough. I pulled on my pants and stole one of Gideon's shirts. As I dressed, my mind went through the steps I'd learned in therapy. Talk it out. Explain what triggered the negative feelings to your partner. Face the trigger and work through it. Maybe if I'd been less shaken by the depth of my feelings for Gideon, I could have done all that. Maybe if we hadn't just had mind-blowing sex, I would have felt less raw and vulnerable. I'd never know. What I felt was slightly dirty, a little bit used, and a whole lot hurt. This particular revelation had hit me with excruciating force, and like a child, I wanted to hurt him back. I scooped up the condoms, lube, and toys and tossed them on the bed. Then, just as he called out my name in an amused and teasing voice, I picked up my bag and left him. Chapter 10. I kept my head down as I made the walk of shame past the registration desk and exited the hotel through a side door. I was red-faced with embarrassment remembering the manager who'd greeted Gideon as we got on the elevator. I could only imagine what he'd thought of me. He had to know what Gideon reserved that room for. I couldn't stand the thought of being the next in a line of many, and yet that was exactly what I'd been from the moment we entered the hotel. How hard would it have been to stop by the front desk and secure a room that was ours alone? I started walking with no direction or destination in mind. It was dark out now, the city taking on a whole new life and energy from what it had during the business day. Steaming food carts dotted the sidewalks, along with a vendor selling framed artwork, another hawking novelty t-shirts, and yet another who had two folding tables covered in movie and television episode scripts. With every step I took, the adrenaline from my flight burned away. The maliciously gleeful thoughts of Gideon coming out of the bathroom to find an empty room and paraphernalia-strewn bed ran their course. I began to calm down and seriously think about what had just happened. Was it a coincidence that Gideon invited me to a gym that just so happened to be conveniently close to his fuck pad? I remembered the conversation we'd had in his office over lunch, and the way he'd struggled to express himself to keep me. He was as confused and torn about what was happening between us as I was, and I knew how easy it was to fall into established patterns. After all, hadn't I just fallen into one of my own by bailing? I'd spent enough years in therapy to know better than to wound and run when I was hurting. Heartsick, I stepped into an Italian bistro and took a table. I ordered a glass of Shiraz and a pizza margarita, hoping wine and food would calm the vibrating anxiety inside me so that I could think properly. When the waiter returned with my wine, I gulped down half the glass without really tasting it. I missed Gideon already. Missed the playful, happy mood he'd been in when I left. His scent was all over me, the smell of his skin and hot, grinding sex. My eyes stung, and I let a few tears slide down my face, despite being in a very public, very busy restaurant. My food came, and I picked at it. It tasted like cardboard, although I doubted that had anything to do with the chef or the venue. Pulling over the chair where I'd set my bag, I dug out my new smartphone with the intention of leaving a message with Dr. Travis's answering service. He'd suggested we have video chat appointments until I found a new therapist in New York, and I decided to take him up on that offer. That's when I noticed the 21 missed calls from Gideon in a text. I fucked up again. Don't break up with me. Talk to me. Please. The tears welled again. I held the phone to my heart, at a loss for what to do. I couldn't get the images of Gideon and other women out of my mind. I couldn't stop picturing him fucking the hell out of another woman on that same bed, using toys on her, driving her crazy, taking his pleasure from her body. It was irrational and pointless to think of such things, and it made me feel petty and small and physically sick. I startled when the phone vibrated against me, nearly dropping it. Nursing my misery, I debated letting it go to voicemail because I could see on the screen that it was Gideon. Plus, he was the only one who had the number. But I couldn't ignore it, because he was clearly frantic. As much as I'd wanted to wound him earlier, I couldn't stand to do it now.
Hello.
My voice didn't sound like mine, clogged as it was with tears and emotion.
Ava, thank God.
Gideon sounded so anxious.
Where are you?
Looking around, I didn't see anything that would tell me the name of the restaurant. I don't know. I'm sorry, Gideon.
No, Ava, don't. It's my fault. I need to find you. Can you describe where you're at? Did you walk?
Yes, I walked.
I know which exit you took. Which way did you head?
He was breathing quickly, and I could hear the sounds of traffic and car horns in the background. To the left?
Did you turn any corners after that?
I don't think so. I don't know. I looked around for a server I could ask. I'm in a restaurant. Italian? There's seating on the sidewalk and a wrought iron fence. French doors. Jesus, Gideon, I... He appeared, silhouetted in the entrance with the phone held to his ear. I knew him immediately, watched as he froze when he saw me seated against the wall toward the back. Shoving the phone into the pocket of his jeans he'd had stored at the hotel, he strode past the hostess, who'd started speaking to him, and headed straight for me. I barely managed to get to my feet before he hauled me against him and embraced me tightly.
God.
He shook slightly and buried his face in my neck.
Ava.
I hugged him back. He was fresh from a shower, making me achingly aware of my need for one.
I can't be here,
he said hoarsely, pulling back to cup my face in his hands.
I can't be in public right now.
Will you come home with me? Something on my face must have betrayed my lingering wariness, because he pressed his lips to my forehead and murmured,
It won't be like the hotel, I promise. My mother's the only woman who's ever been to my place, aside from the housekeeper and staff.
This is stupid, I muttered. I'm being stupid.
No.
He brushed the hair back from my face and bent closer to whisper in my ear.
If you'd taken me to a place you reserved for fucking other men, I would have lost it.
The waiter returned, and we pulled apart.
Should I get you a menu, sir? That won't be necessary.
Gideon dug his wallet out of his back pocket and handed over his credit card.
We're leaving.
We took a cab to Gideon's place, and he held on to my hand the entire time. I shouldn't have been so nervous riding a private elevator up to a penthouse apartment on Fifth Avenue. The sight of high ceilings and pre-war architecture wasn't new to me, and really, it was all to be expected when dating a man who seemed to own damn near everything. And the coveted view of Central Park. Well, of course he'd have one. But Gideon's tension was palpable, and it made me realize that this was a big deal to him. When the elevator opened directly into his apartment's marbled entry foyer, his grip on my hand tightened before he released me. He unlocked the double door entrance to usher me inside, and I could feel his anxiety as he watched for my reaction. Gideon's home was as beautiful as the man himself. It was so very different from his office, which was sleek, modern, and cool. His private space was warm and sumptuous, filled with antiques and art anchored by gorgeous Aubusson rugs laid over gleaming hardwood floors.
It's amazing,
I said softly, feeling privileged to see it. It was a glimpse into the private Gideon I was desperate to know, and it was stunning.
Come in.
He tugged me deeper into the apartment.
I want you to sleep here tonight.
I don't have clothes and stuff.
All you need is the toothbrush in your purse. We can run by your place in the morning for the rest. I promise to get you to work on time.
He pulled me into him and set his chin on the crown of my head.
I'd really like you to stay, Ava. I don't blame you for wanting to get out of that room, but finding you gone scared the hell out of me. I need to hang on to you for a while.
I need to be held. I pushed my hands under the back of his t-shirt to caress the silken hardness of his bare back. I could also use a shower. With his nose in my hair, he inhaled deeply.
I like you smelling like me.
But he led me through the living room and down a hall to his bedroom.
Wow.
I breathed when he flicked on the light. A massive sleigh bed dominated the space, the wood dark, which he seemed to prefer, and the linens a soft cream. The rest of the furnishings matched the bed, and the accents were brushed gold. It was a warm, masculine space, with no art on the walls to detract from the serene night view of Central Park and the magnificent residential buildings on the other side, my side of Manhattan.
The bathroom's in here.
As I took in the vanity, which appeared to have been made out of an antique claw-footed walnut cabinet, he pulled towels out of a companion armoire and set them out for me, moving with that confident, sensual grace I admired so much. Seeing him in his home, dressed so casually, touched me. Knowing I was the only woman to have this experience with him affected me even more. I felt like I was seeing him more naked now than I ever had. Thank you. He glanced at me, and seemed to understand that I was talking about more than the towels. His stare burned through me.
It feels good to have you here.
I have no idea how I ended up like this with you, but I really, really liked it.
Doesn't matter.
Gideon came to me, tilting my chin up to press a kiss to the tip of my nose.
I'll lay out a t-shirt for you on the bed. Caviar and vodka sound good to you?
Well, that's quite a step up from pizza. He smiled.
Petrosians, etc.
I stand corrected. I smiled back. Several hundred steps up. I showered and dressed in the oversized cross-industry shirt he laid out for me. Then I called Carrie to tell him I'd be out all night and give him a brief rundown about the hotel incident. He whistled.
I'm not even sure what to say about that.
A speechless Carrie Taylor spoke volumes. I joined Gideon in the living room, and we sat on the floor at the coffee table to eat the prized caviar with mini toast and creme fraiche. We watched a rerun of a New York set police procedural that just happened to include a scene filmed on the street in front of the crossfire. I think it'd be cool to see a building I owned on TV like that, I said.
It's not bad, if they don't close off the street for hours to film.
I bumped shoulders with him. Pessimist. We crawled into Gideon's bed at 10:30 and watched the last half of a show while curled up together. Sexual tension crackled in the air between us. But he didn't make any overtures, so I didn't either. I suspected he was still trying to make amends for the hotel, trying to prove that he wanted to spend time with me, not actively fucking. It worked. As much as I desired him, it felt good just hanging out together. He slept in the nude, which was fabulous for me to cuddle up against. I tossed one leg over his, wrapped an arm around his waist, and rested my cheek over his heart. I don't remember the ending of the show. So I suppose I fell asleep before it was over. When I woke, it was still dark in the room, and I'd rolled to the far side of my half of the bed. I sat up to see the digital clock face on Gideon's nightstand, and found it was barely 3 in the morning. I usually slept straight through the night and thought maybe the strange surroundings were keeping me from sleeping deeply. Then Gideon moaned.